Welcome and thank you for waiting. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Today's conference is being recorded, so if you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I will turn the meeting over to Governor Tim Pawlenty. Sir?
Well, good afternoon to you, your time, and thank you for joining in on the call. I'm just calling in to provide an update on the trade mission to Poland and the Czech Republic. We arrived in the Czech Republic this evening. It's about, must be 9 o'clock or so, 9:30 in the evening here. And I'll just give you a quick overview of the trade mission so far and talk about a few other quick topics, and then we'll go ahead and open the lines for your questions. Flew out Saturday night, Minnesota time, and Sunday was a travel day. We got going on the trade mission on Monday morning after arriving in Poland Sunday night. I met with Ambassador Hill both Sunday night and Monday morning. Ambassador Hill is the ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Poland. Went through some embassy presentations on the kind of political economic environment in Poland with the ambassador's staff Monday morning. I gave a keynote speech to a Chamber of Commerce in Warsaw over the lunch hour on Monday. I had a series of meetings with government officials in Warsaw Monday afternoon, including city officials and national ministry officials in the economy and the rest. And then the ambassador and I co-hosted a embassy reception Monday evening at a arboretum in outside of Warsaw for a variety of commercial interests and governmental interests. It was very well attended, and I had a nice event. And then while I was doing all of that, the First Lady and the business delegation had separate itineraries. The First Lady on Monday, amongst other things, visited an orphanage that is supported substantially by 3M Poland, and the business delegation that is with us had a series of business-related meetings throughout the day as well. Today, it started out on my schedule going to the Warsaw School of Economics, where I gave a presentation to a group of MBA students and faculty there. University of Minnesota has a joint program with the University of Warsaw School of Economics, offering a MBA through the Carlson School at the University of Minnesota. So we learned about that partnership and gave the lecture or the talk this morning. And then I spoke to a group of individuals who are Minnesotans who conduct business in Poland or are in Poland doing business in Minnesota over the lunch hour speech. And then this afternoon we traveled to Wilmianki, which is spelled with an L in English but pronounced with a W. And they have a sister city relationship with Columbia Heights. And a B-17 bomber was shot down there in 1944 during the Warsaw Uprising. The Americans were trying to help Polish people during the Warsaw Uprising. B-17 was flying towards Warsaw and was shot down. And on that plane, there was a crew of 10, one of which was a Minnesotan. And they've constructed a memorial there. It's a beautiful memorial. And we had a formal ceremony with military honors and wreath laying at the memorial. And the townspeople showed up, the mayor and the city council, and probably 100 or so people from the town showed up for that. It was a beautiful ceremony and a wonderful tribute to heroes and to the cause of freedom and liberty. And then we left Poland and flew to the Czech Republic this evening and got into Prague just a few hours ago, and are getting situated here tonight. And then the program, it's a very similar program for me, starts over the next couple of days in Prague, meeting with the ambassador for breakfast tomorrow, embassy presentations, chamber lunch speech, going to the Czech parliament, meeting with ministers of the environment and trade and industry, and then a embassy reception hosted by the ambassador and his spouse tomorrow evening for kind of economic development networking. And the First Lady and the business delegation will have a similar but separate itineraries. And then on Thursday, a series of meetings with the city officials here in Prague, meeting with some folks about a transportation initiative they have that's kind of unique within the EU. Be meeting with some economic development officials on Thursday and trade officials as well. And then we leave for home Friday morning, our time, and arrive back in the Twin Cities your time sometime around supper. So that's kind of the trip in a nutshell. We have about 20-plus business interests with us as part of the delegation. They have had some wonderful contacts already. And, again, the kind of point of the trip in a nutshell is to raise awareness about Minnesota in these emerging markets with their recent accession into the EU. Both Poland and the Czech Republic, along with 8 other countries, were admitted to the EU in May. That opens up the doors for an infusion of resources for infrastructure improvement, particularly in things like wastewater treatment, environmental upgrades, and the like. And these are countries on the move in many respects and represent kind of ground floor opportunities, I think, for Minnesota to become more aware. And our instincts, I think, were confirmed. We learned of many other states coming for trade missions in the coming months to this area and these countries as well. But the real point of the trade mission is to not to promote necessarily the big companies, because they have the resources and the insights and the ability to establish networks and contacts in these countries pretty much on their own, but for smaller and mid-sized companies to give them access and insights that they might not otherwise be able to get, and then also try to generally raise awareness about Minnesota with respect to commercial interests in these countries. So that's, in a nutshell, the trip. I'll also tell you that if you haven't received it already, we'll be releasing manufactured export statistics from the first quarter of this year for Minnesota, and you'll see that first quarter of 2004 went up 9.5% over the same quarter a year ago. That is really good news for us. It's the third consecutive three-month period of growth for our trade exports coming out of Minnesota, and it's tremendous news for Minnesota. So obviously exports are an important slice of our Minnesota economy and a growing slice, and have been a state that has a modest population size. We obviously need to grow economically through servicing markets outside of Minnesota, both within the United States, but also internationally as well. So we're glad for those positive trade statistics, and a release with some backup information will be coming to you this afternoon if you haven't received it already. With that, we'll go ahead and open up the lines, take your questions about the trade mission or anything else that might be on your mind.
All right. Thank you, Governor. We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your request, please press star 2. Our first question comes from Bill Salisbury. Go ahead with your question, sir.
Hi, Governor. Governor, are you there?
Yes, Bill, I can hear you.
You said that many other states are sending similar delegations after you. Are you the first state delegation to make such a trip to Poland and Czech Republic?
I doubt that that's true. I don't know that for sure, Bill. We were told they were the first delegation since their accession into EU, which probably isn't much of a distinction because they've only been in the EU now for a couple of months. But we were told that there's an East Coast coalition of states that jointly approaches trade and trade missions of about 10 states that is planning a delegation and a trade mission to these countries in the next few months.
A follow-up question. Will the state play any role in helping these smaller companies maintain contacts in those two countries?
Yes. You know, what we expect from our trade office, of course, is to not only raise Minnesota's awareness, but to establish and maintain contacts, both government official contacts, embassy contacts. Within the embassies, there's an operation called the Commercial Services that is run by our federal Department of Commerce. And their mission and focus is supposed to be to provide support and encouragement to American business interests in these countries, both once they're here, if they run into red tape or problems, but also promoting the ones who are trying to enter these markets. And so we expect that type of service from our economic development officials in Minnesota, and meeting these people face-to-face and exchanging business cards and having some FaceTime with them is a wonderful networking opportunity, both for our own trade office, but also for the people who are here as part of the delegation. But the short answer to your question is yes.
Our next question comes from Bill Werner.
Hello, Governor.
Hi, Bill.
I have a local policy-related question, but I'll put myself back in the queue later for that one. But I'm curious, in your meetings now initially with officials in Poland, where do you think, in what business areas lie the biggest opportunities for Minnesota firms?
Well, right now, Poland is, as well as the other new accession countries, are going to be the recipients of $28 billion of resources from the EU over the next 5 or so years. About half of that's going to come to Poland, and it's earmarked for things like Poland coming up to speed or getting up to par in things like wastewater treatment facilities, environmental filters and technology that would help them improve their environmental standards and performance. And so we purposely targeted two sectors on this trade mission. One is information technology, and the other is environmental technology. And that was purposeful because we decided that those were two sectors that would probably be seeing some increased demand in Poland over the next few years.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Dane Smith. Go ahead.
Hi, Governor.
Hi, Dane.
Is Patricia Lopez listening to this?
I don't think so, although she might be, but I'm not aware that she is.
Okay. Tell her.
Well, I'm sitting on a curb in a
street. Well, I thought I heard a horse go by.
Well, a horse did go by just a minute ago. We're on a cobblestone street in downtown Prague, and I'm sitting next to a garbage can on a curb. I was eating dinner, but it was too noisy there, so I came over here and sat on the curb by the garbage can.
Sounds like your story about the barber. I'll pass. Sounds like we've probably got it covered.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Once again, that's star one if you'd like to ask a question. Another question from Bill Werner. Go ahead, sir.
Governor, I'll take us to Minnesota issues again, then, if I may, for just a moment, since we have a little bit of a lull here. The Hiawatha Light Rail is going to open up for business in Minneapolis this weekend. Some folks are criticizing your stance on North Star Commuter Rail. David Strom with the Taxpayers League says he's disappointed in you. He says the governor has a responsibility to take control of this debate and bring it to sanity. Those are his words. He says instead of a romantic notion of this, we need to do a simple cost-benefit analysis, and he claims that the cost-benefit analysis doesn't work either for North Star or for Hiawatha. Would you care to respond, sir?
Well, I think, first of all, I agree that we should do a credible cost-benefit analysis on the numbers and not let other agendas or emotions drive this debate. That's unfortunately what happened to a significant extent in the Hiawatha Light Rail Line. I was a skeptic, as you know, of that project, but as governor, I inherited it essentially nearly completed, and it's our responsibility now to get it open and operating in the best possible shape. So I'm going to be there for the opening of it on Saturday, and we hope it goes well. But there's also, though, a mindset that has set in with certain people in the debate that all rail in all locations for all time is terrible. And that's an overly simplistic conclusion. It is true that certain rail projects, whether they be light rail or heavy rail, don't make sense or are not very effective or efficient. And that's precisely why the Federal Transit Authority has implemented a extremely rigorous analysis, cost-benefit analysis, in evaluating these projects. And so we turned to the Federal Transit Authority under the Bush administration and asked them to do exactly what David Strom is suggesting in his recent comments, and that is to conduct a independent, credible, rigorous review of this project on a cost-benefit analysis. And they did that for us. And the results are that the project is pretty good. I spent a lot of time personally talking to the Federal Transit Administrator on this front. The Bush administration supports this project. Senator Coleman supports this project. Representative or Congressman Kennedy supports this project. I support this project. Most of the Republicans in the Anoka County legislative delegation support this project. To suggest that somehow we are all nuts or delusional is just not fair. And I don't think the position of the Republican Party, or for that matter, fiscally conservative think tanks, should be that all rail projects, regardless of location, regardless of independent studies, are a boondoggle. Some are, some aren't. That's why you have to pick and choose wisely. And I've said, whether it be rail or other forms of transportation projects, we should be somewhat agnostic as to form of transit, but make determinations based on three questions. How many people is it going to move? How much is it going to cost to build? How much is it going to cost to subsidize once it's up and running? And how does all of that compare to other alternatives? And if the answer is it will perform well on the numbers, not on emotions, not on economic development or redevelopment agendas, then we should support the project. And again, I was a skeptic with North Star. We had a bunch of kind of biased consultants weigh into the debate early. They had conflicting results about cost-benefit. That's precisely why I went to the federal government, the Bush administration, and asked for a Republican-led, I mean, it wasn't put in those terms, but I mean, it was done by a administration that is obviously not exactly some liberal la-la land, and they came back and said it's a pretty good project. And so I would just suggest to David Strom and to others, instead of everybody trying to be armchair analysts on this, look at the numbers.
Well, Governor, it's interesting because the points that you make about cost-benefit analysis are very similar to the ones Mr. Strom made. And I guess the question is, can you as governor then guarantee to Minnesotans that North Star Rail will provide a bigger bang for the buck than any of the other options in that corridor?
Well, you also have to keep in mind, Bill, it's compared to what? You know, and so we would put in about half of the money, and the other half's coming from the federal government. You have to ask yourself, for that amount of money, in this case, I can't remember the exact numbers at the moment, but for the amount of money that we would be putting into the North Star, you wouldn't get much freeway expansion. And again, cost-benefit is agnostic as to form. It's supposed to tell you how much benefit do you get for a dollar invested, and the cost-benefit analysis done shows this is a pretty good project. But what I would say is, I can't say that it is as good as, say, a 10-lane super freeway running between Minneapolis and Big Lake, but the reality of it is a 10-lane super freeway between Minneapolis and Big Lake isn't going to be built anytime soon.
Thank you, Governor.
Next question comes from Bill Salisbury. Go ahead.
Hi, Governor. We got the press release on the manufactured exports soaring to record heights.
Yes.
Do you know what the reasons are for that?
Well, I just got word of it verbally just a couple hours ago, Bill, so I haven't gotten a briefing on the details of it. I presume it relates to the economy recovering overall. I know one part of it that was mentioned is a surge in exports to Mexico, particularly as it relates to food and products and food processing. But beyond that, I don't know the details.
Have we reached a point yet where the increased manufacturing will result in new jobs?
I think we, if I remember the calculations from a week or so ago, we have recovered. You know, we lost a massive amount of jobs from the onset of the recession till now, and we've gained about over half of them back. But at the rate that we're growing jobs per month, we had about 30,000 more to go. And in April and May, as you'll recall, we had a 12,000 job growth month, and we had a 7,000 job growth month. If we continue somewhere around that pace, we should be back to even in a few months, probably 3-4 months.
Okay, very good, Governor. Thank you.
All right, we have a question from Dane Smith. Go ahead, sir.
One final question. Being released there too, right, Governor?
Say again, Dane?
This increase in trade in this quarter has been released to reporters with you, right?
The release, I presume that's true, although I don't know that for a fact, Dean.
All right.
It's certainly public information at this point. Okay.
All right, I'm not showing any further questions at this time, Governor. I'll turn it back over to you for any further comments you might have.
Well, I really don't have any others. I just wanted to update folks as to what we're doing, and we'll be back in town on Friday. Thanks for your interest in the trade mission, and we'll see you at the end of the week or early next week. Thank you, everybody.
That concludes today's conference call. Have a great day.